The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
So today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi, that's the name that we're going to be focusing on. So here's the thing. With our series, we've been doing just kind of going through the names of God and exploring what they mean. And as we've discovered, God has things that He wants to reveal to us about Himself as He reveals His names to us. And so each week, there's kind of been a different aspect of God, maybe something that we weren't familiar with, that we didn't really know. An attribute of God has come out, and certainly God has spoken to us every time when we've talked about different names of God. And so today, we're going to be looking at a passage that reminds me of a story. Okay, so I think I gave a little bit of a break so I can get into this. By the way, hashtags are on the screen. Jehovah Rohi. By the way, if you follow that hashtag, I found some really cool stuff. When you click on these names of God hashtags on social media, I've just found some real encouraging things that people are posting out there, which has been kind of cool. I've noticed church after church that's been going through the same series, not exactly what we're doing, but talking about the names of God. So it's been kind of cool to do that. So we encourage you guys to post stuff on social media, Remnant Church identification, and my handle for Twitter is at Jeremiah Vick. Just encourage you guys to put this stuff out there so that people know what we're talking about. So, as I'm exploring this name Jehovah Rohi, it comes out of Psalms 23, the 23rd Psalm, and so I've always thought of the 23rd Psalm as being a something that you read when things are just going terrible, right? As a matter of fact, the few times that I had heard Psalm 23 like read in like a public setting was at a funeral, at funeral services. And so, as a matter of fact, my very first funeral service that I ever did, I had just started pastoring. I was a youth pastor, and I had never done a funeral service before. And I had a family come to the church, and they came into my office and said, "We'd like you to do the funeral, and here's we want some specific things to take place at the funeral, and one of the things we'd like you to do is to share Psalm 23, to speak from Psalm 23. And the funeral is going to be actually at the park. It was actually here at Buckland Park. And it was going to be just like a memorial service. Obviously, no casket in Buckland Park. That'd be kind of weird, right? It was strange enough as it was. And so this is so my only setup for this was that I knew that there was going to be this funeral service, and the guy who had passed away, his name was Rocky. And so I'm like, okay, you know, I haven't really met a whole lot of the family. I just met a couple people that had come in the office. And so I started to think to myself, well, what should I do for this? I want it to be a nice memorial service for this guy, but I didn't know anything about him, didn't know anything about his family. His really the only thing they told me was that he loved to ride his bike. And so I'm like, okay, I can maybe go somewhere with that, you know. And so I'm thinking of all the things I could talk about and that I could say. And so the day comes for the service. And so I had tried to arrange like some nice music. So I knew someone that played the violin. And so I'm like, that'll be nice to have someone playing violin, and I knew someone that could sing, and so I think I'll have someone come and sing like Amazing Grace. And so I set all this stuff up, and I'm going to talk from the 23rd Psalm. So I arrived at the park a little bit early before the service, and people were already there, and there was hardly a car in sight. They were all motorcycles. They were all choppers. And all of a sudden, I realized he rides his bike. Oh, okay. Now it's, so I was the only person there not wearing a leather jacket. Me and the violinist that I had brought, and the person who was going to be singing Amazing Grace. And I was just like, I mean, I was like, I made a big mistake. This, you know, I'm not prepared to do this. And so I stood up in front of like the roughest looking crowd that I'd ever faced in my life. And I was literally scared to death because I'm like, these are probably people that I would, you know, like cross the other side of the street just because, not because, you know, I thought they were going to do something to me, just because I wanted to give them space, that kind of thing. So I didn't really know how to react. And so I get up to give this service, or to give my message. And I spoke on the 23rd Psalm. And then after I was done, and I don't know if I did a good job or not, I didn't even know what I said, because I was so taken back by the fact that I was speaking to, you know, 100 or so bikers. And so I finished speaking, and then I like kind of stand off to the side, and people are coming to talk to me. And I've never seen so many people that just had this, at first just had this tough, really tough, tough exterior. I just had never seen people's faces soften so much, and their hearts. And I was blown away by the fact that just my little offering that I did there at the park affected people so much. And so I didn't really even know how to react to this, because they started handing me money. And I was like, what? Why are they giving me money? You know, they would like, you know, go to shake my hand, and they'd have like, you know, dollar bill, like, in there. You know, it's like I was getting these handshakes, and they were like, and I'm like, oh man, I'm running out of places to stick money, and I don't even know if this is right, you know? Should I say, I don't accept tips? I was like 22. I didn't know what I was doing, right? But I walked away from that thinking, man, I was so scared about what my message was going to communicate to these people, because I'm like, can they identify at all with what I'm going to talk about? And I think that I discovered that there's this one thing that every single one of us can connect with, and this is the idea of God as being our shepherd. So let's talk about what Jehovah Rohi means, and we'll kind of break that down for you guys, and we'll get into this message. So Jehovah Rohi. We talked about Jehovah a couple weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so Jehovah means the unchanging self-existent one. The unchanging self-existent one. If you remember, we spent some time talking about the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that those themes are represented in his name, Jehovah. Rohi simply means my shepherd. My shepherd. So Jehovah Rohi together means my eternal shepherd. Or if you just want to say the Lord, my shepherd. But the idea here is not just that I have a shepherd, but I have a shepherd that is unchanging and that is here to stay. He's never going to leave me. So let's talk about Jehovah Rohi. And some of you guys maybe even have Psalm 23 memorized. I thought I did until I stood in front of a bunch of bikers, and then I was like, oh, I can't remember anything, right? So I want to read Psalm 23 from the New Living Translation. It's usually the one that I read from. I don't know if that means a whole lot to you guys, except for that it might sound a little different from the way you learned it, because I remember learning Psalm 23, and it was in King James, and so it kind of had the old English sound to it, which I kind of grew up hearing it that way. And then it, in some ways, it kind of masked some of the meaning for me, because as I studied Psalm 23 and read a different version, there were some things that came out that I had never seen before. And maybe just because I had become so familiar. You know how when you become really familiar with something, you start not to notice things? Okay? Like, I mean, I drive the same route every day to go to the office, okay? I mean, without any variation, I'll drive pretty much the same way. And every once in a while, I'll look to the right, and I'll see a building, and I'm like, was that building always here? And then I'll drive by again, I'm like, I could have sworn that building, you know. So I asked someone, where did that building come from? Like, oh, that building was, you know, 1910 when that building was put in. Oh, okay, well, I just wasn't paying attention. And we get so familiar with things that sometimes we overlook some really significant things. So let's read, "The Lord is my shepherd," from Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside quiet streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." So, Father, this morning as we spend some time in this psalm, God, would you speak to us? Would you reveal to us something that we've never seen before? God, as we consider what it means to us that you call yourself Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, God, I pray that this morning that you would speak to us in a way that you never have before, and that because of the time we spend in your word and because of the time we spend learning from you, God, that we leave this place changed. God, that we don't stay the same, that your word transforms our hearts and transforms our lives. And God, we want to give you all the glory, all the credit for that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I started thinking about this idea of the shepherd, and I thought, okay, well, maybe we should talk a little bit about sheep, right? Because if you're catching on to the analogy here, if the Lord is our shepherd, that means that we're the sheep. So I did just maybe a little bit of looking into what it means to be a sheep and what sheep are like. And so let's talk about characteristics of sheep. Okay, let's put up some sheep qualities so we can kind of think through what these are. So the first one, which is probably the most prominent quality that I kept seeing over and over again, was number one, sheep are dumb. In other words, they cannot be trained. They don't learn from mistakes, and they have no sense of direction. So if a sheep does something to put themselves in harm's way, they're not going to learn from that, and they're going to go and repeat that action. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? They have no sense of direction. If a sheep wanders off from the fold, the sheep has no way to get back because it can't find its way. As a matter of fact, sheep have been known to be like within eyesight of the fold and still not be able to figure out how to get back. Second thing I came up with was that sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless, meaning they have no defense mechanism. Okay, so they don't have quills like porcupines. They don't have claws like cats. They don't have teeth like lions. They don't have a scent like a skunk. Okay, so there's not like a built-in defense mechanism or any way to protect themselves. Sheep are also easily drowned. I did not know this, but apparently if a sheep gets in deep water because its wool gets so heavy, when it's wet, the sheep just sinks to the bottom like a rock. And sheep have no instinct of potential danger. So other animals have like this instinctive, when there's danger present, okay, they have some sort of awareness. Sheep are not like that at all. As a matter of fact, sheep have been known to be nibbling along, eating grass, and they come to a cliff. And they just keep nibbling along, and then they just fall off the cliff. It's like they eat their way to their death. They're just not aware that there's any danger there. Third characteristic that I found about sheep is that sheep are dependent. Sheep are dependent. They need to have food, water, and care provided for them. As a matter of fact, of all livestock, sheep are the ones that require the most meticulous care. They require constant attention. Man, it's like, how did sheep make it? Why are sheep not extinct, right? You know the answer, right? Shepherds. Sheep have always had to have shepherds watching over them. They could not survive without human intervention. That's a very unique quality for an animal to have. But I think it's a very telling quality, especially when God says, I am your shepherd. And then we're stuck with the result, right? Well, I guess that means we're the sheep. Which makes us also dumb, defenseless, and totally dependent. All right. Feeling pretty good about yourself? All right. So sheep are good at something, though. They are. They're really exceptionally good at this one thing, and that is straying. Sheep are really good at straying. You know what I mean? Just like wandering off. Just wandering off. They're really good at that. Matter of fact, the Bible points that out about us. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. But you know, luckily for us, and I don't think it has anything to do with luck, God pursues us. He goes after us. There may be 99 sheep that are where they're supposed to be, and there's one that's gone astray. The good shepherd leaves those 99, and he finds that one that's lost. So let's talk about what it means to have a good shepherd. And the first thing I want you to see, first thing that I want you to recognize from this psalm is that I am satisfied in him. I am satisfied in the good shepherd. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Other versions say, I shall not want. Have you heard that expression before? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I used to say that a lot, repeated that when I would say Psalm 23 and pretty much had no idea what that meant. Shall not want. What exactly are we talking about here? Well, the idea here is that, and actually the word means, I shall not fall short in the end. This includes the idea of expectations. So if I have all that I need in God, I'm not going to be lacking anything. I'm not going to fall short in anything. Whether it's physical or whether it's simply the expectations, the trust that I put in God, in my shepherd. I'm not going to fall short. Then it goes on, it says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside quiet streams. So here we have this picture of the shepherd providing for all our needs. Remember I said that the sheep is dependent and has to be fed and has to be watered. And so the shepherd's job is to take the sheep to a place where the sheep can feed. And to take the sheep to a place where they can drink. And that's what God does for us. I love this word rest, where it says he lets me rest in green meadows. This word rest means tabernacling. Now that sounds like a really big word, tabernacling. Tabernacle is just an old word for a tent, okay? If you were going to set up a tent and you were going to be staying somewhere for a pretty long time, you would set up a pretty sturdy tent called a tabernacle. Tabernacling or setting up a tent. I think about that, you know. So God brings me to a place where he's providing my needs, and then he says, hey, set up camp here. Have any of you ever set up a tent? Just curious. We've had some fun tent setting up moments. I'm sure we all have these stories about you know, arriving to the campsite after dark, and you're like, okay, it's time to set the tent up, and it's like a tent you've never set up before, still in the package, you know, and so you're just like fumbling around in the dark. Debbie and I did that one time, and we set the tent up in record time perfectly. It was like it never happened. We were so excited that we took it all down and we did it all over again. Just kidding. We didn't do that, but we were pretty proud of ourselves. We're like, wow, this has never happened before. Have you ever noticed this when you go to set up a tent? that the ground where you're about to set up your tent looks really smooth. And then you set your tent up, and then you start feeling around, you're like, oh man, there's like rocks everywhere. Ah, oh, this stinks. And so you want to move the tent, right? Maybe you clear space, clear all the rocks away, you set it out again, and you're like feeling, oh, rocks. How does this happen? One time we were camping, we were at a music festival, and a couple of our youth leaders and kids decided that they were going to set up their tent on a hillside. It was a little bit of an incline, right? Not like super, you know, not like a real serious grade, but just kind of a slight incline. And so they set up their tent on that. And then in the morning, everybody was like in one side of the tent, right? It's like all piled up on one side of the tent. So there's a lot that goes into this idea of God saying, I want you to make this place a comfortable dwelling for you. And the shepherd goes into a lot of work to make sure that that happens. I didn't realize this about shepherds, but did you know that a shepherd will actually go ahead of the sheep? I mean, before the sheep are mobile, right? They're still in the sheepfold. The shepherd will go out, and he will actually find the water and find the good place where the meadows are green, where it's a good place to eat. He'll go and he'll find that place. He'll scout it out and find it ahead of time, and then he'll go and take the sheep there. Isn't that crazy? I'm like, man, that's, you know, that's a lot of work. That's crazy. One of our favorite things we used to watch was Bear Grylls. You know, Bear Grylls would go do all these, you know, survival things where he would just be on this rough terrain and just be doing this crazy stuff to survive, you know, finding things to eat, finding a way to build a fire, finding a way to, you know, build shelter, all this stuff. And I was impressed with Bear Grylls for having done that. But then I started noticing something. I started noticing that they would get these crazy camera angles for Bear Grylls. Like someone had to have a camera. I mean, and those things are not light, right? I mean, someone is doing everything Bear Grylls is doing, but with a camera. Okay? And so they're like just following this guy around, carrying the camera. And they're like going to these far places and like getting these great shots with Bear in the distance, right? And they're like coming back to the camp, you know, like... I'm just like, man, I'm not impressed by Bear Grylls. I'm impressed by the cameraman. He's doing everything, lugging that thing around. And I think about the shepherd, the good shepherd who goes ahead of us and prepares a place for us to rest. He does all of that work to make sure that we're going to be in a place where we feel secure and safe and we have our needs met. I love it. Philippians 4:19. Says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is who God is, because God is vast in his resources. God is able to supply all of our needs. Notice it doesn't say, I'll supply all of your wants. God doesn't promise anywhere that he's going to supply our wants. As a matter of fact, the only time that God talks about giving us the desire of our hearts is when he says, if your heart is in tune with mine, I'm going to give you the desire of your hearts. Why is that? Because we're going to want what God wants for us if our hearts are in tune with him. So God meets our needs, not necessarily our wants. Psalms 34, verse 10 reminds us that even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. God is the one that meets our needs. I am satisfied. I'm satisfied in him and the good shepherd. But you know what? If I stray off, if I wander off, if I don't follow the shepherd's instructions, if I get lost, if I'm not where I'm supposed to be, then I'm outside of that. I'm outside of that provision. And that's why I say this, that your level of satisfaction is directly related to how close you are to the shepherd. So your level of satisfaction in this life is directly related to how close to the shepherd you are. If you wander far from the shepherd, your satisfaction level is going to drop. You're going to begin to look elsewhere for things to satisfy you. And my friends, there's nothing out there that's going to satisfy you more than Jehovah Rohi. Nothing is going to be more satisfying. So not only am I satisfied in him, but I also want you guys to notice and claim this for yourself. I am refreshed in him. I am refreshed in him. Look at last part of verse 2 and verse 3. It says, he leads me beside quiet streams. He renews my strength. I think about this notion of quiet streams for a moment. See, the word in Hebrew actually means the absence of movement. So the quiet stream is a stream that's not moving quickly. It's not flowing fast. Here's the thing. I didn't realize this, but you know, sheep cannot sleep anywhere where there's moving water. If they can hear water running, and maybe we're like that too, right? You have trouble sleeping when you hear the faucet running. It makes you want to get up and go pee in the night or something. But whatever it is, there's something about a water that's moving quickly that makes sheep very nervous, and they're not able to really rest. And that is why the shepherd leads them by quiet streams. You know, some of us just need to sit by the quiet stream that God leads us to. There's so much going on in this world. The stream is constantly flowing. I mean, it is moving at a neck-breaking speed, and we're caught up in it. We're caught up in life, and we're just like going along with it. And we try to rest, and we try to have these moments, and we try to do it in our own strength. We can hear the rushing of the water. We can hear the stream. We can hear the turmoil of the water. And we can't truly rest. My friends, would you just accept our shepherd's invitation to come to these quiet streams? You know, we're reminded in Psalm 46:10 to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. How often do you sit still and reflect on who God is? That is hard to do. I'm talking about sitting still. You ever had to sit still? I mean, especially as a kid, man. Oh, that was the worst, right? You had to, in church was the worst. Having to sit still for a period of time and my mom, man, she was like this, I don't know, she knew when we were even thinking about moving, okay? And she did this thing where she would just like snap. And then as soon as she snapped, everybody would sit up straight in our row. Just like, she saw me. She read my thoughts. I mean, we had to sit still. Oh, that was so hard to sit still. It's hard for us. Today, it's hard for us to be still. It's like we gotta be constantly doing. We gotta keep up with what's going on around us. We gotta be checking Facebook. We gotta be updating Facebook. It's like we're controlled by the stream. We're controlled by that moving water. And even when we try to find moments of rest, it's like we can still hear it. It's still flowing in the background. So God, our shepherd, is leading us besides this quiet stream. And I just encourage you to sit there for a moment. Take time out of your week and sit there by that quiet stream with your shepherd. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is what God offers us. He offers us rest for our souls. Now, we had a couple of our staff that went up to the National Youth Workers Convention this month, and I was looking through at some of the things that they offered, and I noticed that they offered a thing, like a seminar, and it was called The Spirituality of Napping. I was like, what? I'm going to go to that. I didn't go, but I saw that, and I was just like, and then I started reading the description, and it was like, basically, they had like places where you could take a nap. I'm like, dang, my staff probably needed that. I'm sure they went. I'm sure they went and hung out there. We just need to have these moments, and I'm not saying that we need to take naps, especially not while I'm speaking, but we need to be still. We need to be still before God. So he talks about us being still before quiet streams, but then he also says, he renews my strength. He renews my strength. And this word for renew has this idea of moving back to the original point. That's what it literally means, to take something back to the original point, to like the factory default setting, right? Bring it back to the original point. And this is what God is saying. I want to bring you back to the place that I intended for you to always be in relationship with me, in sweet, uninterrupted relationship with me. This is the idea of God renewing us. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "So we do not lose heart. Our inner self is being renewed day by day." This is something that God wants to do constantly in our lives. He wants to constantly be renewing us, recharging us. See, here's the thing. Refreshing, it only comes from a place of stillness with your shepherd. And this spiritual recharge is vital for the journey ahead of you. See, this moment of stillness, it actually serves a much bigger purpose than just giving us rest. This moment of stillness actually prepares us for what's ahead of us. Because if you look a little further down this psalm, the road's about to get a little bit rough. And that still, restful moment prepares you for what's to come. So the third thing that we have in our shepherd is direction. I find direction in him. I'm satisfied in him. I'm refreshed in him. I find direction in him. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, "He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." Now, usually, when I hear someone talk about the 23rd Psalm, they'll talk about this idea of walking through this dark valley, okay? The valley of the shadow of death, right? It sounds pretty ominous, right? And I feel like people will kind of separate that out from the psalm and say, okay, now let's talk about the valley of death, right? Now let's talk about this dark place that you're going to experience. But I feel like this is so connected to verse 3 where it says, "He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name, even when I walk through the darkest valley." Wait a second here. So God guides me, my shepherd leads me along the right path, even when it goes through a dark valley. Wait a second, does that mean that my shepherd is actually leading me through a dark valley? See, here's the thing that we need to get. Being on the right path does not mean you won't face danger or difficulty as you follow the shepherd. But it does mean he'll be right there with you. Amen. So being on the right path doesn't mean that we're not going to go through the dark valley. You can be on the right path with God and still experience dark moments in your life. That's what I'm reading in this psalm. The difference is your shepherd is with you in that dark valley. See, so many times we're just like, we're praying, you know, "God, you know, help me not to go through these hard times. God, help me to avoid these terrible things." And we're just pleading with God, you know, I just want to stay out of the dark valley. God, can you just help me avoid that? When instead our prayer should be, "God, would you draw me closer to you, and would you put me on the right path? And wherever that path leads, that's where I want to be." That's the way we should be praying. We shouldn't be asking God to help us avoid trouble. We should be asking God to help us follow him closely. And if trouble happens, he's right there with us. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So God's word, when we get into the dark valley, God's word is a thing that sheds light on our circumstance. His word lights up the way in front of us. And we have to pay attention to his word. We have to listen for his voice. In fact, Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They listen to me. So I'm satisfied in him. I'm refreshed in him. I find direction in him. Fourth thing, I find safety. I find safety in him. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You know, I used to think it was one stick that did everything, right? It's the rod and the staff. But apparently they had two. Shepherds had two sticks. Who knew? He had a rod, which is a shorter, kind of like a club, okay? A short club for fighting off wild animals. And then he also had a staff, which is a slender pole with a crook on it, used to direct the sheep with gentle taps. You ever been gently tapped by God? Yeah, I have. The crook could be used to hook the leg of a sheep to rescue it from harm. So God has in his hands, our good shepherd has in his hands these two tools that he uses. And one is to protect us from harm. And the other one is to guide and correct us and to pull us back onto the right path. It's a beautiful picture of how God cares for us, of how our good shepherd cares for us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, so be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, and do not panic, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you, and he will neither fail nor abandon you. That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd that we have. John 10:11 through 12, Jesus' own words, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Then he says, a hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. It even goes on to say, he's just in it for the money. He didn't really care about the sheep. Here's the thing, guys. We follow after hired hands. We follow after, we take guidance, we take direction from people who are not really interested in our spiritual welfare. We seek advice from people who really don't care about us. They're not invested in us like the good shepherd is. That's why we have to go to him. That's why the good shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, needs to be the one that guides us and leads us. Guys, we got to stop. We got to stop taking bad advice. We got to start going to the source of the best counsel available to us. And it comes directly from our good shepherd. So I find safety in him. Look what it says in Proverbs 3:12. It says, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And if you're a mom or a dad in the room, and you've ever pulled your child from harm's way and then said something really sweet and nice to them, you probably did it wrong, right? How many times have we pulled our child from harm's way and gave him a little swat? Just so they'll remember, that is very, very bad. Don't do that. You're going into a dangerous place. The kid's not going to remember. He's not going to remember that the street wasn't a safe place to run and chase after the ball unless mom or dad comes and gives him a spanking and says, don't ever do that again. It's for your protection. And God, with his staff, many times has to correct us and has to say, don't do that again. You're putting yourself in harm's way. And I love this idea of this balance that the shepherd has. He has that club in one hand, right, that rod, and then he has his shepherd's staff in the other hand. And so he defends us and he guides us. And both of those things are done in love. Both of those things are done for our good and for our benefit, for our protection, for our safety. I find safety in him. See, finding safety in your shepherd means not only protection from outside harm, but also from the danger you might get yourself into. God's not only protecting us from outside harm, he's protecting us from us. Sometimes you will be your biggest enemy. Sometimes you will be the one that is the worst for yourself, that's doing the worst for yourself. And sometimes God has to protect us, even from ourselves. Need I remind you of the characteristics of the sheep? Dumb, defenseless, dependent. That's what the shepherd's staff is for. Now, I love this last part of the psalm, and I love the transition that's made here. So I want you guys to kind of be aware of this, because the good shepherd has this incredible relationship with his sheep, where he is providing their needs, where he is protecting them, where he is watching over them, feeding them. And then this psalm takes a little bit of a transition here, and it begins to talk about something even better that we're invited into. Even better than having a sheep and shepherd relationship, God is inviting us to actually sit at his table. And so this last thing that I want you to take with you this morning, or this afternoon now, is that I have communion with him. I have communion with him. And this idea of the word communion, I'm not just talking about communication, but I'm talking about a connectedness with God, where there's communication, but there's also a place of belonging. I have communion with him. I belong to him. I belong with him. Look what it says in verses 5 and 6. It says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." And this is a beautiful picture of the relationship that this shepherd invites us into. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. What does this word enemies mean? I mean, who are enemies? Well, the word actually means that which binds up or confines. So we're not specifically talking about a person as our enemy. It could be a situation. Anytime we feel confined or in a narrow space, this is where God is meeting us. Whatever that place is, whatever that circumstance is, God's saying, I'm still supplying your needs. And a feast doesn't just feed you, does it? A feast overfeeds you. Am I right? I mean, we're talking about some generosity here. And then he says, "You honor me by anointing my head with oil." See, there was this tradition. It was a treatment that was reserved for the most honored guests when they would come to your home, and they would take a bottle of scented oil and they would pour it over your head. And you think, "Oh, that's kind of crazy. Like, it's going to get on my clothes." Well, that was the whole purpose, right? They wanted it to not only be on your head, but to kind of go down onto your clothes too, because this oil was expensive and it was sought after. And it was considered an honor when they would put this oil on you. And that's what God wants to do to us. He wants to give us a place of honor at his table. And he wants to anoint us with this scented oil. He says, "I want you to smell as good as me." That's what God's saying to us. And then it says, "My cup overflows." And here we have another expression of lavish treatment by a generous host. I don't just have a full cup. I mean, my cup is like spilling over. You ever had someone fill your cup and you're like, they're like, "Say when," and then you get distracted? They're like, "Just say when," and you're like, "Hey, how you doing?" And they're like, "Ah!" It's like overflowing. It's like God does that. He just pours, he just keeps pouring it on. Because God's resource is inexhaustible. God has it all, and he wants to give it to us. John 3, verse 1, I think it's put so beautifully here. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is who we are. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Man, this picture of God, I love this picture of God, that God does not want to hold back when it comes to what he wants to pour out on our lives. And we're not preaching a prosperity gospel here, because we talked about the dark valley, right? We talked about how being on the path, the right path, is going to lead you sometimes into some dark places. But I don't want to deny the fact that God has this incredible resource of goodness and grace and mercy and blessing that he wants to pour out on your lives. That's the kind of shepherd that we have. He wants to lavish us with his love. So my friends, you've been invited into a lifelong relationship with your shepherd, where his goodness and his grace are never exhausted. This is the place that Jehovah Rohi is inviting us into. Here's the question, I guess, this morning is, I mean, it's obvious that we're sheep, right? So we just have to ask ourselves, what kind of a sheep am I going to be? Am I going to be the kind of sheep that listens to the shepherd, follows the shepherd, obeys the shepherd, stays close to the shepherd? And if I do that, if I do all of those things, I'll be satisfied in him, I'll be refreshed in him, I'll find my direction in him, I'll find safety in him, and I'll have communion with him. All of those things will happen if I stay close to the shepherd. But if I choose, and we all have the choice, if I choose to wander, if I choose to stray, if I decide, I don't know if the shepherd's way is the best way. I mean, I know the shepherd stayed up all night trying to find a great place for me to camp out, but just maybe there's a better place out there. As soon as we start adopting that attitude and start venturing out on our own, we put ourselves outside of our shepherd's safety. We put ourselves outside of our shepherd's provision for us. And we put ourselves outside of being satisfied in our shepherd. But here's the good news. Shepherd comes after us. He comes after us. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know if you're in the safety of the sheepfold under the shepherd's care, or if you're wandering too close to a cliff with your head down, not paying attention. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know if you're on the path where the shepherd's leading you, and it just happens to be that he's leading you through a dark valley at the moment. I don't know where you guys are at. But I do know this. I know that the shepherd is there with you. And whether you're straying or whether you are safe in the fold, I know that the shepherd's desire is that you would be close to him. Jehovah Rohi loves you that much. And so this morning, as we just bow our heads and close our eyes, and we begin to thank God for what he's given us this morning, Would you just reflect on these ideas just for a moment? I am satisfied in him. As a matter of fact, in this quiet moment, would you just say that? Say, I am satisfied in him. And then say this: I am refreshed in him. I find direction in him. I find safety in him. I have communion with him. Why would you want to be anywhere else?
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.